We're talking about waiting. And it comes from a very special scripture, I believe, that will launch us into the next two sermons beyond this. But waiting is, it sometimes tests our patience. And you get in a line, you walk in the door, and you look, oh no, how long is this going to be? And then I look and I see how people, for in my world, to my thinking, is such a trivial thing, are lined up in long lines down around the building and outside and who knows where, waiting to get a teddy bear. Oh, I said that, didn't I? Or I can remember Black Fridays when my wife and the sisters would get up and head out for Target and some of these places to be there when it opened, because the first whatever number of people that could force their way in the door could get something. Then after you got it, you thought, what'd I do that for? But really what I'm talking about something is even more important. This is taken from Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. And this is the beginning in verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" How long? So who are these people? Well, we had in our last time read in Hebrews chapter 11 of those who had suffered martyrdom. And we only go to our history books to find that thousands have died in martyrdom. And many even today are dying in other parts of the world, away from our comforts of life. They're giving their life to Christ Jesus in martyrdom. And I see these that have a special place before the altar of God. And then I listen to their prayer, their request. And I say to myself, how long, Lord, are you going to wait before you answer their prayer? You know, when we pray, we think God should answer right away. I'll go stand at the window and look out the window and wait for that new car to pull in the driveway that I've been praying for. We want it right now. It should happen. But one thing we learn about God is he doesn't run on our time clock. He doesn't have a time clock. He doesn't have a calendar. He doesn't have year by year. He doesn't have birthdays. Time doesn't exist for him in eternity. So these who are waiting are crying out all the time, how long, Lord? How long? How long are you going to put up with this? When are you going to answer our prayer? Talking to God, you find out you don't always get the answer you're looking for. We think, well, you know, I've got it all figured out. I know exactly what I need to say. I know how to say it. I know what God should do and how he should do it. And so our Father which art in heaven, and away we go. But in point of fact, God doesn't always do things the way we expect. I read this in Isaiah 55. I had him add this morning from the previous notes because it includes our memory verse. This is Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. That's what we have as our memory verse. But here's the rest of it. Let the wicked forsake his way and evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Here we go. My thoughts are not your thoughts, My ways, not your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and the bread of the eater, so in my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to empty. I will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I sent it. So talking to God then simply tells me I'm not always going to get a satisfactory answer. God's going to do what God's going to do. God's not dependent upon us. And our agenda is, if it's not in alignment with God, doesn't make any difference. And it matters not what the world thinks. It matters not what society decides. It matters not what a group of people can get together and vote on. It's not going to change our God. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So when we stand before God and we have a question, we have a thought, we have a desire to know something, we may not get a satisfactory answer. But what we do in all of that, we learn to trust God. It's all in His hands. He's driving the bus and is going to go where He wants it to go. Important scripture here is found in Habakkuk. You say, what in the world? Who's Habakkuk? Used to have Bible things in Bible drills when I was in back in Iowa and Minnesota. And the kids would have to look up scriptures. And everybody was ready with your Bible. And then they'd say, Habakkuk 1 verse 2. And everybody'd scramble. And as soon as you got it, you stood up. And when I would pick my team, I'd figure out now which of these people are really good at it. Because I want to win the points. Our team needs the points. And if we can get a girl or a guy or two that are really good at getting to these scriptures, that would make points. And I remember, this is free. I remember we had one gal, a lion girl, Bill. She was spectacular. And they said, you know what? We want to see Art go up against her. And I'm thinking, oh, no, you don't. Because she was so quick. It was unbelievable. And I said, well, I'll only do it under one condition. Got to have a condition. I said, if we trade Bibles. She can use my Bible. I'll use her Bible. Except she didn't know that I had purchased my Bible from Goodwill for 35 cents and all the pages weren't all together in there, they're loose leaf somewhat. And beyond that, all the chapters were in Roman numerals. That's the only chance I had. You say that was deceitful. It's all about winning. Habakkuk. Here we go. He says something that goes right back to what we can draw a line to Revelation. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? And you don't listen. I'd be careful what I say to God, wouldn't you? If you don't believe that, go back to Job 38 and 40 and find out. They asked some questions there and God came on the scene and said, who is this that darkens my counsel? You know, I got some questions for you. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? I suppose you know, so tell me. And when he gets all done, Job said, you know what? I'm going to put my hand over my mouth and I'm not going to say anymore. Now that's the art version. You find it in Job 38 and Job 40. But here it is, Habakkuk. How long? Or to cry out to you, violence, but you don't save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and conflict abound. Sounds like the morning newspaper. Therefore, the law is paralyzed. Justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so the justice is perverted. How long? Why don't you do something? The Lord said, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Now that kind of traces me back to my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways aren't your ways. And so if I explain something that I'm going to do, it's going to be unbelievable to you because you're going to think, how in the world is that supposed to work? He said, here's what I'm going to do. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who will sweep across the whole earth and seize dwelling places not their own. That's who's going to come. Then look at chapter 2. He says here, after he hears what the Lord says, well, let's go to chapter 1 first. I gave you 1 verse 12, and then we'll go to 2. Here's Habakkuk. He's got another complaint. I mean, you got your answer, right? Everything settled? No. It didn't settle it. It only raised another complaint. Because you're trying to fit and things that you're thinking about into what God is doing, and it doesn't quite fit. The pieces of the puzzle don't go together. You don't know how an almighty God who knows all things and controls all things can move things around and make nations do things and raise them up and bring them down and people and bless them and curse them. God can do all of this. Are we to understand? No, we're to trust. O Lord, are you not from everlasting, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You can't tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those who are more righteous than themselves? Why do you do that? And see, one question just led to another. You're not satisfied. It didn't bring an answer to what he's looking for. So in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I'm just going to stand here and watch and station myself on the ramparts, and I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. You see, when you ask God a question, you'll get an answer maybe, but it may not be what you're looking for, and then you're bewildered with that. So these who are around the altar, who are crying out to God night and day, the same request over and over and over. How long, O Lord, before you avenge those who put us to death? And he says, I gave them a white robe. This is back in Revelation 6. I gave him a white robe and I told him, wait. Just wait. It's going to happen. But it's going to be on my calendar, my time, not yours. You see, when Jesus talked about the widow who was persistent before the ungodly judge, He said, she just stayed after him all the time. And finally the judge said, I got to do something to get her out of my court. She's wearing me down. And then he draws from that and said, you know, if that's what an unjust judge will do, this is taken from Luke 18. If that's what the unjust judge will do, how about a loving judge? How about a good judge? How about a good father? How soon would he listen to those who are calling to him night and day about Jesus coming back? When's that going to happen? On God's time. But I can tell you this, it's going to happen. So I ask you this, what's the holdup? Before I get to that, I want to tell you about a fellow named Thomas Hawker. This is 1555, and he's about to be put to death, burned at the stake. fellow who was near and dear to him, next to him, said, "Thomas, I have to ask you a favor. I need to know if what others say about the grace of God is true. Tomorrow, when they burn you at the stake, if pain is tolerable and your mind is still at peace, lift your hands above your head. Do it right before you die, Thomas. I have to know." The next day, they bound him to the stake. He was burnt to the point where everyone thought he was dead. And suddenly, he raised his hands above his head, and he clapped three times. This is one of those who gave their life to the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is one that I spoke of is a legacy ahead of me along that path, that narrow path that leads to God, who has set the tone and has set the pace that I should follow. And what do I have? What sacrifice do I make? What sacrifice do we as Americans make? What kind of calamity do we have? We have some little thing happen in our life, and it's a big deal. And we think God should just do this and do that. And where is God? And if he doesn't do that, then in fact, I don't believe in him. And yet here I have history and event after event after event of people who laid their life down for Jesus Christ and suffered the worst of worst tortures to the point where people were amazed. And you know what happened during all of that? The church grew. The church multiplied. One lady, Felicitatus, was a Roman lady. She had seven sons. All of them brought up in the Lord. Generatives. He was scourged, and they piled weights on him until he perished. Felix and Philip, their brains were dashed out with clubs. Silvanus was thrown off a precipice. Alexander, Vitellius, and Martial, the other three, were beheaded. And then with the same sword, she was beheaded. A whole family. And now they can cry out, "Lord, when are you going to right the ship? How long is this going to go on? When are you going to do something about it?" Well, what's the holdup? I'll give you a clue. Let's go to 2 Peter. And this is in chapter 3. What verses did I give you up here? 8, 9? Okay. "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." So when we say how long, it's going to be hard to measure on anything that we would use because it doesn't fit our calendar, doesn't fit our watch. It doesn't go by time. What's 1,000 years? "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. So these who are crying out night and day, 'How long, O Lord, how long?' It sounds like maybe he's slow. Maybe he's forgotten. Maybe he just isn't in tune with what really is happening." And he says, no, that's not what's happening. "He is patient. He is patient with you for what reason? Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Not willing. He's patient. He's waiting." Now let me just put that in perspective. Because I hear a lot about the love of God these days. Oh, God just loves everybody. And he does. And boy, if you're just wonderful to know that you have a loving God. But you know, when you break down the love of God, this is when you run into these words, very compassionate. You run into these words, very patient. You run into these words that are full of mercy and grace. Those don't come under the holiness of God. That's where you get fairness. But over here under the love of God, you've got all these wonderful things that we read about and talk about of who our God really is. And I love that. But what does that mean? That means that every day I wake up to get out of my bed. It's the love of God, the grace of God, the compassion of God, the patience of God, the mercy of God that is allowing me to breathe my air and my heart to beat and me to step out and see what today has for me. God lives for today. And for me, not to love the Lord, not to obey the Lord, not to surrender to the Lord, it's contempt to the Lord. And we are contemptible to the love of God every day. And those who are praying, and God says, wait, wait, wait. I'm waiting for these people. Wait. No, 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 not yet. You just rest a while. How long, Lord? How long? A little while longer. And then you come to this next word, but. But. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. What does that mean? It means suddenness. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And that's the answer to the prayers of all of these who have given their lives in such terrible ways that they've written big, thick books just to give us a history of those in the multiple different ways they died. And now they cry out day and night, Lord, how long? And God says, the day's coming. People may think it's slow. And it's going to come sudden. But it will come. I will answer their prayers. And they will see the wrath of God brought upon those who have destroyed or mutilated and killed my saints. But in the meantime, we have now. You spent it yesterday. What did you do with yesterday? Was it contempt for the love of God, or was it surrender to the love of God? Now you have today. If we live all through it, you don't know whether you're going to live today. You just assume you are. You've got plans. But it's the patience of God that gives you today. You don't have a tomorrow. Unless the patience of God determines that. And these who are praying night and day are put on hold another day and another day. For what reason? Because God so loves you and he's so patient and he wants you to come to him. Why not? If not, there's a but in there. It's going to catch you. And it's going to be quick. And it's going to be decisive. And it's going to be over. And all of these who have died in the years gone by can say, Amen, Lord. My prayer has been answered. I don't know how you pray, but my prayer in the morning always is, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And I join my heart to those who gave their lives. That may never happen to me, but I'm looking for the Lord Jesus to come. But do you realize that for God to answer my prayer is for you to be lost if you're outside of Jesus? If God answers my prayer, you will spend eternity away from God because you wasted a now. And that's all we have is a now. Why do we show contempt for the love of God? You see, what passed before Moses at Mount Sinai was God's goodness. His goodness was such that they had to protect Moses from it. And when he came down from the mountain, the people couldn't even look at Moses. And all it was about was the goodness of God. And yet Romans 1 says that those of us who won't come to the Lord and yet live this life and soak up all his blessings and all of his goodness, we're showing contempt. And we're going to pay a very dear price. But I'll tell you one thing that's sure. God's going to answer those people's prayers that are under that altar. It will happen. You can be sure. But I don't know exactly when. We'll talk more about this next week. If there's anything that you have for the Lord, you have now. You don't have tomorrow. If God gives you tomorrow, it's because of his patience. That's all you have. You're trading on it. You think you're going to get away with it? No, you aren't. There's a whole passel of people that are praying against you because they're saying, Lord, how long? It's about time. Let's do it. Let's get it over with. And it's going to happen. Father in heaven, thank you for your mercies and grace. Thank you for bringing us together. Lord, help us to realize the seriousness of this life that we have, just a very short window of opportunity. Time passes by so quickly. And yet we know, Lord, there are those who are crying out night and day for this to end. And we know, Lord, it will end when you say so. Lord, if it's anyone here that needs to get right with you and obey the gospel, they know they have now. They don't know if they have tomorrow. By your grace, Lord, maybe they will. But whatever it is, Lord, I pray that all of us want to be in heaven, want to be with you. And Lord, that we want to just open our hearts to you and surrender. Thank you for this morning. Bless this day. Your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.